Good morning. Always a thrill to have you here for the Word for Life radio ministry. The last time we were together, we were talking to two young men. You notice the way I put that? Two young men.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Bruce Burry and Andy Alexander, about an opportunity that they've just experienced to go to Nicaragua to play 14 games of softball in like 100-degree heat with the opportunity and the thrill of sharing the gospel. Now, you guys made this decision to go. Did your companies just say, hey, we'll take care of it, or did you have to take personal vacation?
I had to take some of my personal vacation in order to do that.
Yeah, I'd take vacation.
All right. And no issues with your wife, as long as you would promise something in return, I'm sure, you know, but...
Mine was the promise to return.
Oh, the promise to return. All right. But what an opportunity to spend part of your vacation for such an awesome privilege. Just a fantastic opportunity. Now, we were saying last time that at the end of the game, you gathered the team together that you were playing, either in the center of the field on the pitcher's mound or possibly in the stands, and then had an opportunity to share the gospel. So not only participants, but also the observers were able to hear a simple gospel presentation. You had obviously a translator.
Yes.
Tell us about how long that, shall we say, presentation went from the time you actually got started till the time you were done.
I'd say it would be somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be somebody sharing their personal testimony.
Right.
And there were some very touching testimonies from the guys. We should share one or two of them. Probably Andy doing one of his strength things, and then a clear gospel presentation. And, you know, Andy with his strength ministry, he really got their attention, especially the kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it was tearing a 3-inch phone book or a license plate in half.
Ooh.
To signify how God tears up the record book of our sins when we accept Christ.
Wow, yeah.
Or whether it was straightening out a horseshoe and bending it into the shape of a heart.
My goodness.
Signify the new heart we have when we invite Christ in.
Yeah.
Or whether it was using his bare hands to nail 3 nails into a piece of wood to show the nails that held Jesus on the cross.
Okay.
Or whether he would squeeze soda cans until they burst. Because if we have Christ inside of us, Christ ought to be coming out of us.
Okay. All right. So when you're under pressure, what comes out? It's what's in.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Andy, you were telling us about some of the testimonies of these guys. Can you think of one that just really made an impact on the folks who were listening?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you the one that impacted me the most also. I was sharing with Bruce that when you're thinking about going on a mission trip like this, you know, never being on one before, you kind of start to imagine what is it going to be like, what's going to impact me the most. I immediately was talking with my wife, and I was thinking that, you know, the little children and seeing their poverty was probably going to touch my heart and bother me, if that's the right word, the most.
Right.
And actually, I think the thing I took back the most was seeing God use and work through these men of God in this country, whether it be testimony or, you know, just serving God or the fellowship, the joy coming out of their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And one in particular was a pastor, Pastor Stephen Cooper, who is from Forest City, North Carolina.
Okay.
And he gave testimony of when he was coming home one day, he had a 2.5-year-old son. And I believe he said he was coming up the driveway, and his driveway comes to one side of his house, and his son was playing with a friend in back and came running out, and Stephen did not see his son.
Oh.
And he ran him over, and his son died.
Oh.
And as he was telling that testimony to the crowd, I was a disaster because I have 4 boys at home right now, 3 little ones, and
yeah.
That's going to touch any parent's heart.
Oh, yeah.
But he just explained how, you know, he picked them up and he, you know, kissed his lips, and it was very, very emotional.
Mm.
And let me tell you, I have not met many men that have the joy of the Lord coming out of them
yeah.
like this man. He is so full of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And just as I processed that over these past few weeks, you know, it is only through Christ, through His power, through Him working in your life that you can overcome something like that.
Yeah.
Not only overcome that, but to be able to serve Him with the fervency and the love that Stephen has really, really hit home with me. And then there's other people too, but just the whole group in general, you could really sense the fellowship, the bond that we have in Christ.
Right.
And serving Christ together was just an uplifting, amazing, amazing time that I'm sure many other people that go on mission trips can attest to the, the unity that you have in that. But that's the one that stood out to me the most.
The effect of God's grace to give him a sense of peace.
Amen.
When there's nowhere else to turn, no one else to turn to, we often say, I don't know how I can make it through without God. Obviously, this pastor had that testimony that I could not have made it through. To have run over my own son without the personal presence of the Lord. Bruce, what kind of story just really touched your heart that was shared?
Along the same lines, it was the same guy and how he was an example to me. And I shared this down there because we would have devotionals in the morning where we all got together and shared. And I shared how he touched me. At one of the games, we were wrapping up an inning. We were about to head out to the field, and we're looking around. We're going, hold it, who's on first? Where's Cooper? He's supposed to be on first. Well, Cooper was down in the dugout trying to find a stick of wood. Just a little stick, a couple feet long, and he found one, gave it to me as he runs to first base. He wanted a little stick of wood to be given to this little boy over here who had a plastic bottle so that he could swing it like a bat and pretend to be like these big American guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Thinking about this little kid while the rest of us are focused on the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was later that same night we were out walking on the street checking out the sights of Nicaragua. And you know, Nicaragua is the second poorest country in Central America, but it's the second safest. So we had a nice time walking around and meeting people and saying hi. But there was one gentleman who had some mental issues, some mental difficulty, and Cooper wouldn't pass by him without trying to strike up a conversation with him.
Yeah.
One of the interpreters said, you know, there's probably not much use to try and talk to him. Cooper wouldn't give up. He wanted to talk to him, and he struck up a conversation because we were right outside an ice cream shop, wanted to find out could he get him a bottle of water or a cup of coffee, some ice cream or something.
Right.
And, you know, at our church here, we have a saying, always live with your head on a swivel.
Yes, yes.
And Pastor Cooper lives with his head on a swivel, trying to see who can he impact today.
Right. Who has God brought across his path that is not an accident?
Right.
It's a God incident.
Right.
And when you look at it that way, it just gives total perspective to not only the entire trip, but to our lives.
Right.
Because it's the way you live here is the way you're going to live there. So as you guys would share the gospel, was there any indication as to how many folks came to the point of trusting Christ as their personal Savior?
Absolutely. We have a rough count of 1,306.
Wow, my goodness.
That made a profession. It was amazing. I remember being in the...
In less than a week.
6 days.
Yeah.
I can remember I was quite overwhelmed when we were in the Major League Stadium, and I had a video camera with me, and I was sitting there, and I'd stop videoing because I'm trying to save some battery.
Yeah.
And the invitation went, and to see hundreds of people stand up in response. And it wasn't one of those responses where, you know, you could tell they were following the person in front of you.
Yeah.
It was almost a unanimous
just
stand up.
And stand up.
I had got goosebumps and was just, you know, overwhelmed. Like, this is amazing.
You know, when you experience something like that, you kind of wonder, what am I doing in America? Like, if it's that fertile of ground, I can definitely understand why you guys would be thinking about next trip and trying to make plans to go in February.
Amen.
Yeah, from that standpoint, it was a little bit tough to come back and to leave that there.
Yeah. I experienced the same thing when I went to the Philippines. Five pastors went, and then after a citywide campaign in Manila, we spread out across the islands of the Philippines, and I preached for a week and a half in different locations, and over 225 people were saved in that short period of time. Every one of them dealt with personally, you know, follow-up materials, that kind of a thing. Say, well, when I came back to the States, my church was afraid I was going to resign and become a missionary, you know. And it is definitely touching to see the power of the gospel.
Yeah, and with 1,300 people, it obviously, being there less than a week, it's a little tough to follow up with each one of them, discipleship.
Can't do it.
But at each event, we would share afterwards that now that they're starting this new life, they need to, number one, read their Bible.
Right.
Number two, they've got to be praying. They've got to begin attending a good Bible-preaching church.
Mm-hmm.
They need to follow the biblical example and get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to surround themselves with good friends that will encourage them and help them to make good decisions.
Right. Great biblical counsel. Great counsel. And then there, of course, is the ministry that kind of sponsored everything. They're in Nicaragua. And so I'm sure they could help facilitate, you know, some of these things if these folks contact them.
Right. Right.
So as you consider doing that again, now you had to raise personal support to go.
Each player raises their own support.
Right.
The cost was around $2,200 per player.
Right. And you stayed where? In a hotel?
Eric Weber is the contact, the missionary, I guess he would be called, that owns the property and works under the Open Eyes Ministry umbrella. And this house was kind of two houses together is what it appeared to be.
Okay, okay.
But there was rooms that would hold like eight of us players in one and eight of us players in another.
Right.
But he's always there, and he's definitely a strong believer, a very good testimony. I remember walking with him when we went to get ice cream one night, and he was pointing out people that he had shared the gospel with.
Yeah.
So it was really encouraging to know that he's there all the time.
Right.
He's going to run into some of these people eventually that I believe that we came across and shared with. So it's neat to know if there's a follow-up. There is somebody always there.
And the folks that are listening to us this morning definitely can be praying, Andy, for your ministry and Bruce, as you guys play and then share the gospel here in Wisconsin.
Here in Wisconsin.
In the surrounding area. Just be praying that God will use this venue to share the gospel with guys that may never go to church. They may never darken the door of a church, but yet go to a softball game and hear the gospel. My friends, if you're listening to us this morning, make it a matter of prayer. Just determine you're going to set aside these kinds of ministries for your focus of prayer as the Lord lays them on your heart. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.